Ruth and I, on Monday, attended. We haven't attended in a very long time. It's called a growth day for our fellowship, which is called Ministers Network Canada. It used to be Open Bible Faith Fellowship, but they merged with another group of ministers, and so now it's Ministers Network Canada. And they had a growth day in Bramalea, and it's powerful. I'm always asking God, what do you want to say to your people? What is it we need to hear for such a time as this? And when we gathered on Monday with, there's 170 different people in ministry, it was just confirmation. Our national leader, Rick Cimitero, was invited to speak, which is funny because he wasn't even there. He was ministering in Toronto because he came down early and was invited to a church to minister, and he jumped off the stage to minister. Someone broke his ankle. So we didn't expect him there. Next thing you know, he's coming in a wheelchair. And you got to know Rick when he stands up to preach. He's going to give you the both barrels, right? So he started to say exactly what God had been showing me. And I knew right there I needed to share it. He said, we are living in Revelation 6 and 7. And I want you to lay aside today all your theology and all your preconceived ideas of the way you think it's going to go, because you're wrong. And I'm wrong, too. And when I went to Bible school and seminary, these guys, they don't have the same view of the end times as you do or I do. Okay, they have a different view totally, and some of them are way out there. But none of us will be right, okay? This word is right. And the only way to interpret is with the Holy Spirit. And so to say it's all going to happen, bing, 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 I don't know about that. Some of it might be right, some of it you might not be right, okay? But I was reading, as soon as I came home from the conference, which is amazing, Rabbi Jeffrey Foreman, who runs City of David Messianic Congregation in Toronto, spoke on the whole Israel situation. Yeah. And wow, he was really, really forthright. He is a former Jew who got radically saved, and God called him into ministry and started up this Messianic synagogue. And so he has a Jewish perspective. He's been to Israel many times. And he shared what's going on. And
his son-in-law.
Yeah, his son-in-law. He's got this whole, all his kids are over there, I think. They all want to be part of Israel. They all want to move to Israel. It's part of the Aliyah, the return of the Jews to the land, which is happening around the world. And his son-in-law is in the military there. Actually, military is mandatory there for 2 years. And I think I shared this before, but our neighbors were Jewish, and their children wanted to be in the army. People want to be in the IDF, in the Israeli Defense Force. They want to be. It's an honor to serve their country and defend the land that God gave them. So I just say that because we are in a time, as you, if you watch any news, where to align yourself with God, either as a Jew or as a Christian, is going to bring persecution. Okay? It will bring a challenge. I always say this to people, if you're not experiencing persecution, because the Bible says everyone who desires to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. I always say to people, if you're not experiencing some form of persecution, it's because you're not testifying to Jesus. Okay? I have been reading through Revelation. From the moment Rick said that, I got home, I started reading Revelation, and forgive me, this is still percolating in my mind. I got a gazillion scriptures, and I got the whole book, and I'm processing it. But ultimately, I'm going to start right in chapter 1, just briefly, if you want to go there. I'm just going to show you why John wrote. Chapter 1, verse 2. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation. It's the revealing of Christ, which God gave him to show, verse 1, his slaves or bondservants, the things which must shortly take place. So it's a letter about Jesus written to the slaves of Christ, those who are totally committed to Christ, who have given their lives to serve Christ. Okay? It's a very important distinction. He's not writing to North American Church. He's writing to those followers of Jesus who have submitted themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and given their lives to serve Him. That's a huge distinction. And I make that distinction as well. There are churchgoers, there are Christians who maybe say they're Christians, but they don't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. They're certainly not going to pay the price to follow Him. These people are people who have laid down their lives and they're willing to die for Him. They've given up their families, they've given up, you know, all the luxuries of life, and at this point in 90 AD, 95 AD, they are on the run because there's a massive persecution. So He says to those people, this is what's going to happen. And He sent and communicated by His angel to His bondservant John. John was a slave, a servant of God. Watch this. Who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is repeated over and over again in the book of Revelation. And I want to ask you this morning, friends, are you committed to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? Because those are the people I want to talk to today. Okay? We're not here to play church. We're not here to sing Kumbaya on Sunday morning. We're here to declare the name of Jesus. That's why we've been saved. Okay? To declare, actually, the Bible says in Ephesians 3, to declare to the principalities and powers the manifest glory of God. Okay? That's Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ, and we are to make that wisdom known to the world. So, God is looking for people who will stand up in this day and age and preach the truth about Jesus Christ. And the only way to know the truth of Jesus Christ is to be in the Word of God, because in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is revealed.
That's right.
And when you spend time in the Word, guess what? The author of the Word, which is the Holy Spirit, will come and reveal to you what you need to know for such a time as this. Okay? And I want to encourage you, get in the Word. And I know that's how we talk about God moving. God is moving in His people. He's drawing them to the Word of God. And I praise God for that. But Christianity is not going to get comfortable. Following Jesus is going to be hard.
Yep.
It's coming, okay? And the whole book is about persecution, the persecuted church. So let's go to chapter 6, which is really what God showed me. Chapter 1, we have the introduction of Jesus Christ. He gets a picture of Christ in all His glory, and then He writes these two letters to the church, and basically he's calling them to press on and press through and stay steadfast to Jesus and keep going and turn from your sin over and over. Repent, repent, repent. Stick close to Jesus. Serve Him. Die for Him. Persevere. All that stuff. Don't deny His name. Don't deny His name in a secular age of God haters. That's what the world is. They're God haters. We're in 2 Timothy 3. They will hate God. We are in that age of God haters. Okay? And he says, stand firm. Steadfast. Take your stand. Are you taking your stand? Where is your stand in Jesus Christ? Know who He is and know exactly what they said. Who is Jesus? What has He come to do? And where is He taking us? Okay? You got to know that. You got to be in the Word. So chapter 4 and 5, we get this incredible picture of the throne room of God, where God is worshipped in chapter 4, holy, holy, holy. And then chapter 5, the Lamb is revealed, and He is worshipped as God. You know, there's proof. Jesus ain't God. No, He's God. He's worshipped as God in chapter 5. He's God. Okay? The Lamb who was slain, the Lion of Judah. We see the full facet of Jesus Christ there. All right. So God's hands, you know, they're talking about opening the seals, and the seal is the title deed to the universe, okay? That's what the seal is. And God is handing it over to His Son because He's conquered and He's victorious. On the cross, He defeated Satan, He defeated sin, He did what He came to do, and He's ascended on high, and in this particular point in time, God is handing Him the title deed to the earth. And He's unrolling the title deed, one seal at a time. Okay, and everybody's cheering, woohoo, we found the Lamb, it's going to open the seal, praise God. Chapter 6 verse 1, I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, Come, and another, a red horse went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come, and I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard it was aware a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, A quart of wheat for denarius, and three quarts of barley for denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, Come. And I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. And he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was falling with him, and authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and famine, pestilence, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. Maintained. Underline that word. They cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, how holy and true, without refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, should be completed also. And I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to earth, and as a fig tree casts its ripe figs when shaken by a great wind, and the sky was split apart like a scroll when it rolled up. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Glory to God. This is the word of the Lord. So, many are saying we're in Revelation 6. It ain't a pretty picture, is it? Right? It's not sweet little Jesus by and by, come to church, sing a few songs, and go home and go to Swiss Chalet and eat lunch. That's not the Christianity that we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about persecuted saints. We're talking about people who are dying for Jesus. We're talking about a world chaos. So let's just look at these, because I want to show you, and I'm going to open it up. I'm going to put on my teacher's hat, and I'm just going to open it up if you have questions, but most of it will be pretty basic for now. I'm going to make this a series of talks. I don't even know, I'll probably write about it on Mondays, but I want to really start digging into the end time stuff, because many believe we're close. There's so much going on. So the first horse I want to focus on. Verse 2, a white horse, and he was sat out with a bow. This is not Jesus. He had a crown was given to him. He went out conquering and to conquer. So the first horse represents war and victory. And the world is at war. And there's all kinds of wars going on. And right now on planet Earth, there are 32 conflicts in the world. I'll just name, you could probably see some of these, Ukraine, Afghanistan, Algeria, Iran, Pakistan, Taiwan, Israel, Ethiopia, Libya, Mali, Somalia, just to name a few. All through Africa, all through, you know, the eastern part of the world, there's war going on. We can, I'm talking physical war. I'm talking with guns and one against another and people groups fighting each other. That's going on. And he has brought that in, this white horse who is released, a symbolic of an angel who's allowing and going forth and allowing nations to conquer each other, to take each other over. And that's the first one, the war horse. In 3, he broke the second seal. I heard the second living creature come, and another red horse went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, that men should slay one another, and great swords given to him. And I read that, and when peace is gone, what is left? Chaos and anarchy. Are we seeing that on planet Earth? You know what anarchy is? It's the absence of laws. It's lawlessness. It's everyone doing this right in their own eyes. And they're doing it, and they're parading around like this is the truth. And they're shaking their fists at God and saying, whatever you have said, it's wrong. We don't believe you. And basically they're saying, did God really say? Did God really say that Jews are a special people? Did God really say you shouldn't have sex before marriage and you shouldn't have... Did he really say that he created them male and female? Did he really say that? Did he really say that a woman can marry another woman or a man can marry another man? Did he really say that? No, he didn't. So every truth that God has said in his word, they are systematically saying, no, you didn't say that. We decide what is true. We are our own God, and we will decide because we have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, Romans 1. Okay? That's where we're on planet Earth. And anybody, all you got to do is test this, folks. Just go out there and start proclaiming there's only two genders. Or marriage is only between a man and a woman. Okay? Just try it. See what happens. You will experience persecution.
Oh, yes.
Okay? So, chaos is on planet Earth. Nations are against each other. People groups are against each other. There's violence everywhere. We watch the news every night just to find out what's going on. And every night, it seems, I'm hearing that violent crime is on the increase in our cities. Okay, guns are making it into cities. And because of poverty, people are using them to get goods that they can't work for anymore. There's so many social, the breakdown of society is vast and large, and we're seeing the repercussions of it. When society breaks down and turns away from God, violence ensues, chaos ensues, lawlessness, apathy, and you see Romans 1, I know I've talked about this before, but if you go to Romans 1, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. So when you say there's no God, you create a God in your own image. Everybody wants to worship something. So either they worship themselves or they worship something else. And then they ascribe to that God a truth that they want to hear. Okay. So that God is usually very permissive. It allows them to do whatever they want. Okay, that's the God they want to worship. And because of that, it says God hands them over. And he keeps handing them over, do whatever they want. It's like, you guys want to go your own way, you don't want me anymore, that's fine, go. When they get to that point, God hands them over to a depraved mind. And I've said this before, mental illness is rampant on planet Earth. Mental illness is a direct byproduct of saying, God, no, me, yes. Okay? That's where we're at. Okay? It's secular humanism. I am the master of my destiny. I decide what's truth. I decide what's right for me. Okay? And this is where we are. So that's chaos. That's chaos. There's a lack of peace. There's a lack of peace. Yeah. You know where the first lack of peace is? Right here. People don't have peace of mind. Where's peace found? In Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. Okay? How do we have peace with God? By being reconciled to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Okay? So there's no peace. Number three. When he broke the third seal, I heard the living creature saying, come, and I looked, and behold, a black horse. He was sat on a pair of scales. You probably have a note there. This is famine caused by economic turmoil. Okay? What is happening is the world is so chaotic. Nations are spending money on things like arms and they're building up their own militaries, they're building up their own governments, and they're not spending it on the people. And so the people are forced to steal, and they're forced, if you can find a place to buy food, they're going to charge you an exorbitant amount of money for it. And so it says here in verse 6, a quart of wheat was a denarius, a full day's wages, just for one serving of wheat. And so what people were doing, because they had family, they could get three quarts of barley, which was cheaper and less valuable, so they would choose to buy the barley, which wasn't as nutritious as the wheat, because they wanted to feed their family. Okay, so it's economic chaos, which leads to famine. And then many believe, do not harm the oil and the wine. All the rich people have oil and wine. Don't touch that. That's for the rich people. But the little stuff, we're going to fight over that. We're going to force a lot of money out of people to have the basics of life. Is that happening? Are you following this? Is this why people are saying Revelation 6? It's happening right now. I looked, verse 8. an ashen horse, he was sat on it, had the name Death, and Hades was falling with him. Authority was given him over fourth of the earth to kill the sword, famine, pestilence by the wild beasts. Wow. We have wars and rumors of wars, famine, violence, drought, plague. Friends, I don't know if you were aware of this, but coming out of COVID, you probably have heard that all kinds of other things are on the rise. Heart disease, HIV is back. Have you heard even that leprosy is back now? All these things started to happen. Cancer, diabetes, mental illness, heart attacks, Alzheimer's, you name it, it's out there. It's TB is even on the rise again. We had vaccines for all these things once, and now they're all back. I mean, there's an increase worldwide of diseases. People are dying left, right, and center. Wow. 45 million people in 37 countries are at risk of starvation. 22 million children. 22 million children. There's drought in Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia. 5 million children in those nations are malnourished. Hunger all over the world, even in our own communities. And all you have to do is look at the Aboriginal communities, and you'll see. Friends, it's chaos. It's crazy. So every sphere of society, as was said, is falling apart. Economic. Globally, every society is falling apart. Let's keep going here. Not verse 9. When he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those that had been slain because of the word of God. Persecution. Jesus talks about this. If you go to Matthew 24, you'll see he lists very similar lists, and then he talks about persecution. Friends, persecution is on the rise. I read recently on, I think it was Voice of Martyrs or Open Doors, there are currently 340 million, almost 400 million Christians being persecuted right now on planet Earth. Okay? 400 million.
In Sudan, Hamas has just cornered a whole, I can't remember the amount of Christians they call, and they're demanding Israel stops bombing Gaza, or they'll kill all these thousands of Somali people.
Right, most of the persecution is happening. I want to be very careful here because not all Islam is like this. But there are radical Muslims who read the Quran, and it is in there that we must kill the infidel, right? So the infidels are the Jews and the Christians. We must kill them. And so people take that to heart, and the radicals, they go out and they execute that plan, as we see in Israel. In Israel also, I just want to mention, there's a radical group of Jews who are persecuting Christians, okay, going into churches, tearing down statues, which is a good thing in my opinion, but they are attacking churches, setting them on fire and stuff. And it was very close. Netanyahu was on board with legalizing they set forth a bill to stop the proselytizing of the Christian faith, right? And Netanyahu was about to sign, but there was such an outcry that he reverses his decision. So, in Israel, there's persecution of the Christians also by radical Jews. So, but all over the world, it seems that Muslim extremists are, especially in Northern Africa, are going into villages and killing and doing all their nasty stuff and destroying churches right in the middle of services. North Korea, I mean, all these communist countries, all these countries that are led by evil regimes, they hate Christians. They hate what we stand for, okay? Now, friends, I don't need to remind you, we haven't seen it here yet, but I do believe the rhetoric is there. Our prime minister is not pro-Christian, okay? And you always hear him say, on the news, we do not condone anti-Semitism, and he always throws in against the Islamophobia. Thank you. He always throws. I don't see a lot of Islamophobia. I see a lot of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is on the rise like crazy. Okay, it's here. It's here. People hate the people of God. People hate the people of God. Guess what?
We're the people of God?
We're the people of God, even more so. Okay? We have put our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a popular name because Jesus Christ is intolerant. Okay? No one comes to the Father but through me. That's a pretty intolerant message. Okay? No other way to be saved but through me. I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no life, there's no truth, there's no way except me. Amen. That's pretty intolerant.
That's pure love.
Well, yeah, because it's truth. He speaks the truth in love. But ultimately, there's more and more animosity towards evangelical Christians who believe that truth. Okay, and all you have to do is fly the flag of being an evangelical, which is being watered down now even also. But if you fly the flag that I'm a real believer in Jesus Christ, watch what happens. Watch what happens. It's as bad as being Jewish in our circles. Okay.
Well, Mike, it says in the Word that the cross is
foolishness
to those who are perishing.
Right.
Being saved,
it is the power of God. That's right. That's
offensive.
Right. It is offensive. Yeah. The wisdom of God is revealed in Christ, and nobody wants to be told what wisdom is. They want to discover their own wisdom. So, yeah, that's right. It's all over the Bible, by the way. If you read your Word, which I encourage you to do, you read the New Testament, there's really not a book in the Bible that's not talking about persecution. Okay? Every book, literally, is written to encourage a persecuted church. None more so than the book of Revelation. Okay, let me keep going here, because I could go for hours, but I know. So there's a persecution. People are losing their lives. And I want you to just to notice, I want you to underline it, and the Word of God and the testimony they maintained.
Yes.
That's such a powerful word. They stood firm on what they believed. And they were crying out, God, come and avenge our blood. Come and judge. Come and do something. Please, Lord. There was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told they should rest for a little while. It's coming. Guys, I'm coming. I'm coming. Don't worry. Verse 12, he broke the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. Now, I believe this has not happened yet. However, that being said, if you read this, the sky was split apart like a scroll, the mountain island were moved. There are earthquakes and all kinds of cataclysmic events that are happening. My wife just informed me this morning or last night about Iceland. Have you heard of Iceland?
Yes.
2,000 earthquakes in the last few days. 33 active volcanoes. Friends, all over the world, this is happening. Okay, all over the world, we're seeing cataclysmic events happening, but not to this point yet. The stars are not falling out of the sky yet. But it's coming. That'll be a sign we're really close, because right after that happens is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the second coming. Okay? So, I want to keep going here. I got it. Like I said, I got so much. Let me say this. Israel has always been kind of a temperature gauge for what's going on in the world. If you want to know what's happening in the world and where the world is at, take a look at Israel. I had a little video I was going to show you, but I'll just send you the link or something. Let me just delve into that situation a bit, because they did this on Monday, and if you're following, I know lots of you are following the history of Israel, but there have been at least 5, possibly 7, attempts in the last, since 1922, where Israel has tried to make peace with the Palestinians and the Arabs and offered their land. You know, a dual state country or territory. And every single time, the Arabs have said, no way. We don't want a dual state. Why don't they want a dual state? Because many who are on that side, the Palestinians, Iran, their motto is, we do not want Israel to exist anymore.
Right. Yeah.
This is our land. Just follow your history and you will see it's our land. And I'm just going to enlighten you a little bit. How many have read the Old Testament? Book of Abraham, Genesis, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You will notice there, who is the covenant given to?
Abraham,
Isaac, and Joseph, or Jacob. He repeats it over and over to each one of them, okay? And I'm going to take you there. Let's go to Genesis 12. Right at the outset, Genesis 12. Verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right, there's the promise. There's the promise. Go to chapter 15, because it repeats it several times. Verse 5. He took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. I'm the Lord, verse 7, who brought you out of the land of Chaldees, give you this land to possess it. And he said, O Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? So he said, bring me a three-year-old. And so he cuts a covenant right there on the spot. He puts Abraham to sleep and he cuts a covenant. And he promises to fulfill the promise. Okay, to give him the land and the people and the descendants, as numerous as the stars, chapter 17. Verse 5, at the end of 5, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the generation for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. Okay? I mean, it doesn't get much plainer than that. It's everlasting covenant. It's God gave it to them. Okay? If you read the Quran, that's not what happened. Isaac is not the promised child. Ishmael is the promised child that had with Hagar. Okay? And the promise is to Ishmael. Let's see if I can find all my notes to say this stuff. Now let's just stay in Genesis for a sec. Go to chapter 16, one chapter back. This is the blessing to Ishmael. I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed, or the name Ishmael means God hears, and he will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. There's the pronouncement over Ishmael. I mean, all the way back to that promise.
Mine says he will live in hostility towards all.
Yes, that's right. He will live in hostility. He will be a thorn in their side. Okay, and it continues. And there's so much I want to say, but if you read, you can go all the way back to Genesis 10. You can find the Palestinians, the Philistines. The Palestinians are the old Philistines. The Palestine is the Greek word, Hebrew word is Philistine. Okay, so they were way back at the beginning, and they have, ever since the inception of that race, have really been in conflict with the people of God. Ever since, you can trace it all the way through. And you know when David comes on the scene? Who is he fighting? The Philistines. Okay, it's just a constant battle. Sometimes, in order to have progress, favor against another nation, they would make allies with the Philistines because they needed their weapons. The Philistines were well-advanced culture, and they had iron, so they could fashion weapons, really good weapons. Israel didn't have that, and so they made alliances. God hates that. God hates when you make an alliance with a people that he is not in favor of. Okay? He wants to be their God and their defender. And so Israel has really gotten themselves in their own trouble because they've disobeyed God. But I want to say this. There is promise after promise after promise of the Jewish people, being God's people, his treasured possession. Okay? They're his people. We stand with Israel because they're God's people and we are God's people. And Paul says in chapter 9 through 11 of Romans, all Israel will be saved. Okay? Right now, there's a Gentile blip in history. And we are being grafted in. Okay? The Gentiles. We're the Gentiles. He has hardened Israel's heart. They refuse their Messiah. So he's turned to the Gentiles. And he's grafting us into the olive tree, which is Israel. And then he will go back to Israel and bring them all in. Okay? All those who are truly Israel. Revelation chapter 7. I want you to see this. I know I'm all over the place, but bear with me. It will start. I'm just trying to give you a synopsis of what's going on. But it's coming. Chapter 7. I think this is how Satan works. For me, it's very clear. Verse 4. There's a ceiling of 144,000. I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 sealed from whom? From every tribe of the sons of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000. From each 12,000. 12 times 12,000 is 144,000. Verse 9, after these things I look and behold a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white. So what we have here, we have chapter 4, worshiping God. Chapter 5, worshiping the Lamb. Then we have this judgment of God in chapter 6, setting the world straight, dealing with the world. And then chapter 7, we have the return of Christ. And the first thing is mentioned is the people of God, the Jews. And then the Gentiles together as one people. Ephesians 2, he takes out a two and makes one people. And we have a picture of the saved Jews and the saved Gentiles brought together worshiping Jesus Christ. Yes.
So are the 144,000 actual people on the earth currently, and are there any in North America?
So are there, yes.
It's coming directly from
it's not a literal, I don't believe it's a literal 144,000. It's a representative group because 12 and 12,000 is perfection, right? It's a perfect number in God's. So it's a representative group of every Jew or Israelite who has been appointed to salvation coming to Christ. Okay? And there's so many scriptures, like Zechariah. Go home and read the book of Zechariah. You'll see promise after promise of God assembling the Jewish people and saying a redeemer will come out of Zion. Okay, he will turn when he's done with the Gentiles, whatever that looks like, in the rapture of the church, or you know, however it looks, he will turn back to the Jewish people. Romans 11. And Paul says all Israel will be saved, and you can read it very clear there. There will be a time when God turns back to the Jewish people and brings them in. However, we cannot forget that most of the early Christians were Jews, right? They had put their faith in Messiah. There are people appointed and called out of every tribe and tongue.
Yes.
But God loves the Jews. That's what I want to say. God loves the Israelites. That's his land. It's his land. It's all through scripture. There's a great war coming where every nation around there, I think it's in Ezekiel. It's actually many places. But there will be a war when all those nations will come against Israel. And they will go through an incredible slaughter. But out of that will emerge the people of God, the Israelites. And God will bring down the New Jerusalem, and I can't get into all this stuff, but I will. Okay. Here's what I want us to focus on this morning, which God really impressed on me. The world is chaotic. It is crazy. Everything is crumbling around us. All the answers you're looking for are in the Word of God. So we need to be in the Word of God. Revelation 6:9. Are we willing to stand on the Word of God? And are we willing to stand on the testimony of Jesus Christ? Because the Jews will not get into their promised land without Christ. They will look upon the one whom they have pierced, Zechariah says, and they will embrace him, okay? And there's no other way to get to heaven except through Christ. And the Jewish people will turn to Christ at some point in history. And God is moving now. I could just testify from Rabbi Jeffrey. One example of many who's led many Jews to Christ. Okay, God is moving amongst his people. But what's happening on planet Earth right now is chaos and confusion. And I believe COVID was all part of it. It is to get people to put their trust in the government. We will bail you out. We know what we're doing. And if you put your trust in us, we will get you through this. Okay? And people are falling for it left, right, and center. Friends, our eyes are not on the government. Government is human. We never focus on a human. We focus on Jesus Christ. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Shepherd. He's going to lead us into the promised land with the Jewish people. And so we are pro-Israel here. Okay? And what you're hearing in the media is most likely not accurate. They always put this on the news when you're watching any report from Hamas or from Gaza. According to Hamas news agencies, have you ever noticed that? According to Hamas news agencies, Hamas has one prerogative: get rid of the Jews, people. Destroy them, annihilate them. We love the Jewish people because they're God's people. They're God's chosen people, and we also are God's chosen people. Okay? And so we stand with Israel and for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for the leaders of that country, that God would save them and deliver them and open their eyes to the truth. But I find it hard to believe that as a follower of Jesus who reads the Word of God, you cannot see a future for Israel. And there are many, sadly, Christians out there who see that there's no future for Israel. And friends, I just confess, this church is pro-Israel because God loves Israel. He will never break his covenant. He will never remove his heart from Israel. And they are my beloved people, whom I will love forever. Okay? That's Hosea.
We can't trust his everlasting promises to Israel. We can't trust his everlasting promises to
That's good. Right. That's right. good.
That's right.
I'll just repeat that. If you can't trust his everlasting promises to Israel, you can't trust his everlasting promises to us. And that's true. They are everlasting promises. Okay? And I want to encourage you, get informed, because there's what's happening on planet Earth is lies, deception. It's increase. And a lot of these people are God haters. They hate Jews, they hate Christians, and they're just propagating lies. And many, many people are falling for it. And the place you see it the most is on major news agencies. Okay, they have an agenda. Yes.
There are times that we know things. We know little bits of things, and we don't put them together all at once. And something I just learned a few weeks ago, we hear people say, well, you say the Bible says that it's always been, that the land has always been, belonged to Israel, but that's not true. And I heard someone say, Israel went and Judea went into slavery with the Babylonians. That land has been occupied by foreign powers ever since, right up until 1948. I was thinking that they went back as a nation after the Babylonian captivity. They never did.
Nope.
So from a legal perspective, we don't, if you're talking to secular people, we don't need the Bible to argue that.
No.
We have legal, like there's legal means to prove it. It has always been their land, and they're just reclaiming it. So that strengthened my faith. I already knew this. But that strengthened my faith, just as that sometimes archaeology confirms what we already knew about the Bible. So if you need that as encouragement, this is their land.
Yes.
This is their nation. And it always has
been. Yeah, the little piece they have is not the land God gave them.
Agree.
It's much, much bigger than that.
Yes.
Yeah, we get into Israel and all their grace upon the nations around them, because they are very gracious. They always warn the nations before they do anything, you know. But if you've been following Israel, you know that Hamas has been sending thousands and thousands of rockets into Israel for years and years.
Yes.
People are, they're not living in peace then, right? And let me say this. God is just. He's a judge. And he said to the Israelites, if you obey me, there will be blessing. If you disobey, there will be curse. And one of the curses is, there will be no peace. There will be people coming after you and harassing you all through. And friends, Israel is a very pagan nation. Okay? They are not following Jesus. They are rarely, if it's very a small minority of faithful Jews who are following God. Okay? But the rest are wrapped up in secularism. You know, they're enjoying abundance and they have favor because they have so much wealth and so much scientific knowledge. I mean, they could go on and on how they're blessed, but they don't see it as a blessing from God. They're just... Anyway, a lot of it is the judgment of God on them. It's scriptural, okay? Lynn said something to me this week. We need to recognize that when we don't obey God, there are consequences, even for the Christian, okay? And what Israel is experiencing are consequences. Now, Israel has a right to defend itself. But if they don't turn to God, it's not going to be pretty. But many people are believing this is the war that has been prophesied, the big war, the Psalm 83 war, where 10 nations rise up against and almost annihilate. If not for God, they would be annihilated. Okay, this is the war. This could be the very one which brings in the ushering of Messiah, the second coming of Christ, because he will step in and slay them all. Okay, so I just want you to be aware. Many voices out there, not all of them are good, but the ones that are good are all saying the same thing. Yes, Mike.
I looked up the Hebrew meaning of Hamas.
Yes.
I didn't know, but this, as Christians in our spirit, this is enough to confirm.
Yep.
It simply says it's an anti-Israel Muslim terrorist organization. Hamas is one of the most violent. The Hebrew word Hamas, in fact, means violence.
Right. That's right.
So,
yeah, they have one agenda with Iran.
This is what the world embraces.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is what happens. Everything's flipped around, right?
Yes.
Is they make the Palestinians look like victims.
Yes.
And that's what the world is propagating. So we got to stand for the poor victims. It's a huge topic. I don't want to get into it too much, but ultimately. Remember when God said, go into the land, don't leave any survivors. If you leave survivors, they're going to come back.
Yep.
We don't know war. Okay, Canada has never experienced war. Except maybe at our inception at the very beginning. But ultimately, none of us really have experienced war on Canadian soils. Actually, there's never been a war on Canadian soil. So, yeah, it wasn't quite Canada yet.
That was between British and the Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, we really don't understand war and how ugly it is.
Okay?
If you maybe you have relatives who've been over there, but it ain't pretty. It's not pretty. And really, unless you destroy, okay, if you leave a remnant of Nazism, it will start to germinate and flourish. Next thing you know, there's anti-Semitism all over the place. Germany. And it's on the rise in Germany. There's a new, what's it called? Renewal of anti-Semitism. Neo-Nazis, thank you, that's the word I was looking for.
And the people, the government has been quite supportive of Israel.
Yeah, it's a very complicated time. Mm-hmm. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because he knows, he's got it all laid out. It's going exactly, God never, I say this all the time, he never gets up in the morning and says, oh no, what do I do now? He never says that. Never, ever says that. Okay? He's always in control. He's so in control that he wrote it thousands of years beforehand so that we would know he's totally in control. And persecution is coming, friends. Persecution is coming. It's my brother Martin here was just telling me about a guy I used to follow. Some of you know him. Sorengard.
Torben
Sorengard, who spent the last 412 days in jail. For preaching the gospel. The government wanted to get rid of that man. They tried everything to get rid of him, but finally God set him free. But while he was in jail, of course, there's tons and tons of stories of prisoners coming to Christ. But he is on a move to prepare the church for the persecution that's coming because he's experienced. So we saw this during COVID when pastors were thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, whatever your views on that doesn't matter. They're throwing pastors in jail.
That's right.
Okay. They're arresting Christians. They're trying to silence them. Anybody who's declaring the truth will be silenced. And so we need to be bold. You need to decide, am I in or am I out? Am I really going to stand for Christ and preach? Am I really going to stand on his word? Is this book the truth? Does it need to be declared? Is it the only standard for what I believe and what the world needs to hear? And if you need to ask God to get you to that place if you're not there. And many, many churches are not there. They're preaching a different gospel, or some of them are just so afraid to go down that road to call out sin that it's all grace, grace, grace. God loves you no matter what you do. That's not the gospel. Okay? There's obedience. You're truly my disciples if you obey my commands. Okay? So we really need to get in our heart and decide, am I going to stand for Jesus? Friends, I don't see it in Scripture getting better. Paul says in the last days, it's going to be brutal. He actually uses that word. They will be brutal. Are you ready? So there's only one way to get ready. Six times I count in the book of Revelation where he says, how do they defeat the enemy?
Blood of the Lamb.
Word of the testimony. Not loving their lives even unto death. Okay? Three things. Are we there? We need to resolve in our heart. Lord, it's all about you. I'm ready to die for you. When you get to that place, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives anyway. I'm already dead. Right? That's where the disciples got to that point. I no longer live. Christ lives. He lives in me. I live for one reason, for Christ, to make him known. So when we get to that point, you're free. You're free. No matter what happens, you're free. Okay? And this is called Freedom House. And we had no idea what God was raising us up for, but to get people ready, to get them healed and set free and delivered so that they could be spirit-filled followers of Jesus and serve him with freedom and joy. Right? Freedom comes in many forms. Freedom from sin, from strongholds, from hurts of the past, freedom, all that stuff. All that is achieved through the cross of Jesus Christ. But there's also freedom to be free from the effects of society on us, squeezing us into their mold. And that's Romans 12. And we don't want to go there. Right? Conform no longer to the patterns of the world. We don't do that. We conform to Christ.
Okay. I'll testify before the body of Christ. I'm a living example. Mike talked about mental illness. COVID was one of the worst things that dropped on us. I believe it was a plan, but quote. So during mental illness, I suffered all my life, and up to 6 years this fall, I've been free. God healed me. I came to Wendy one day. She prayed over me, and God healed me not long after that. And the gratitude I have for Christ for set me free, being off on all kinds of medications that just made things worse. And as Mike talked about God healing us, the Spirit of God has been continuously changing me, transforming me, sanctifying my life, as he does all of us. And so the truth is made known that God can heal. And he puts the truth in us. We walk in the truth. I'm doing this because I want to confirm that mental illness is chaos. Mental illness is a way to hell in your life if you ever had to suffer for it. Yes, we lose a loved one, we get depressed, but that's a short time. This was something of a curse over me, and I'm grateful for God's healing power, and I speak this to the people I see. And so I thank Christ for this and for this body of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's let me just pray for you guys. Then we'll worship a little more. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is truth, that is revealing what it means to be a follower of Jesus in these days. I thank you, Lord, that you have prepared us for this by your word. You have prepared us for this by your Spirit. And that, Lord, when the world is falling apart, we can stand firm in the mighty power of God. And we can put on the full armor of God and take our stand and do everything we can to stand in your power. And Lord, I pray everyone here is able to make that decision. Lord, you put a resolve in us for this day and age to be those who bring transformation, not to cower from what is coming, but that you would make us strong and bold as a lion to declare truth. People need to hear the truth. Truth sets free. So Lord, fill our hearts and our minds with truth and use us to bring about your kingdom purposes. Thank you, Lord. We're just believing for a mighty move of your Spirit. As this planet seems to be wrapping up in our time here, but Lord, we know that you are a God who desires none to perish, and you are continually applying the work of Christ to people's lives. So we lift up all our family members. We care for them, Lord. We know some of them are trapped in sin and bad choices, but Lord, give us boldness to declare Jesus as the one who sets free. Thank you, Lord, for this flock and how you're moving. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just pour out a fresh anointing on us to see things the way you want us to see and to act upon it the way you want us to act. Lord, your word says that we look into your holy word like a mirror, and we don't want to leave and forget what it says. We want to be the ones who walk the word by faith. Lead us this week, Lord, into divine encounters to share the love of Christ and to point people to you through him. We ask it that Jesus might be glorified in this day and age. Give us boldness to lift his name up. The reigning King, we worship you. All God's people said, amen. Amen.